You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 119. We actually started this Sunday morning. Yeah. We were teaching on Proverbs 4, and then we went into Psalms 119, and really just barely scratched the surface on that. Just got started, wet your whistle. And so I want to just center in on Psalms 119 tonight from the standpoint of the importance of God's Word, the benefits of God's Word, what God's Word means to us. And that's what you see the psalmist here in Psalms 119. Over and over you see that phrase about His Word. He loves His Word. He hopes in His Word. He trusts in His Word, according to His Word. I stand in awe of Your Word. I fear Your Word, so on and so forth. It's sweeter than honey to me. It's more precious than gold. And I mean, it's just this psalm, although it's rather lengthy, 176 verses, I believe. It is just power-packed with insight, benefits, and instructions concerning God's Word. I mean, we've got to get a hold of this. You have got to develop in your life an unshakable confidence in the Word of God. If you don't have that, your prayer life's not going to be very powerful at all, because when you pray, you're not sure whether God's Word's true or not. You're going to have no assurance of whether having your prayers answered or not. So confidence in prayer comes back to confidence in God's Word. It all boils down to your walk with God. I mean, doing what God says works, and it works because His Word is true. If you don't have confidence, unshakable confidence in God's Word, you will fall or falter during the time of temptation or test or trial and not do what God says. You'll start doing something else, generally because you think this is a special case and God doesn't really know what He's talking about. Now, we don't say it in those terms, but that's basically what we do. Every time we sin, we're just saying we're smarter. At that time, we're smarter than God. And you know what? We're never smarter than God. And we always mess up when we do that. So an unshakable confidence in God's Word will keep you walking holy. It'll keep you walking right. It'll keep your prayers strong. It'll keep your confidence strong, because it all comes down to what God says. Either what God says is true or it's not true. Whatever we say about God, if we can't trust Him, we can't take His Word at face value, then what benefit is He to us, and how can we know what He's ever going to do? We would never know what He's going to do. We can never be sure that if we did what He said, that He would do what He said. We'd never be sure that when we prayed His Word according to His Word, that we would get an answer according to His Word. So it really boils down to an unshakable, uncompromising confidence in God's Word. You need to develop that. You need to get that. Now, this is not in and of itself holy. This is just a book with words on it. We're talking about the one behind this. This letter kills. Jesus said the letter killeth, the Spirit gives life. I mean, Paul said the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. Jesus also said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of Me, and you will not come to Me that you might have life. So where does this play in all that? This points us to God. This tells us of God. This speaks of who He is and what He will do. This is like a map. It's not the thing, but it tells us how to get to what it speaks about. Amen? This will point you to Jesus. It will get you to Jesus. It'll tell you how to pray. It won't pray for you, but it'll tell you how to pray. It won't live for you, but it'll tell you how to live. It's a map. A map won't drive a car. You can throw it in the driver's seat. You can tape it to the steering wheel. It won't drive the car. The Bible says you are doers of the Word. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. So you have to get a confidence in it, in acting it out, in speaking it, in trusting it, in believing it. Now, if you don't believe it, it's not going to help you. Bottom line. Because it doesn't have any power in and of itself. It's God's Word, and God requires you believe and trust Him. He's a perfect gentleman in that respect. He won't make you do anything. But if you'll come to Him and you'll trust Him, you can cheer up. You can put sunshades on, because your future is going to be so bright, you've got to have shades. Amen? Psalms 119. Tremendous psalm. It's actually kind of neat the way it was written. The psalmist wrote this in stanzas or passages or we'd say paragraphs, but in just stanzas. And he took one letter of the Hebrew alphabet. As you notice in your Bible, it says that. It starts out right before the first verse, Aleph or Aleph. Don't make like a tree and leaf here on me. But Aleph or Aleph is the Hebrew first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And then he took each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and there's 22 of them, and he wrote a stanza and labeled each one of them according to that Hebrew letter. And there's 8 verses in each stanza. And there's 22 letters. And that's 176 verses. So it's kind of neat the way he did that. It was written in a song form, a praise. These were praises. And he was praising God for 8 verses under each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, really, isn't it? But in each section, he began to praise his word. He prays over and over throughout here. It doesn't just say word, it says law, it says commandments. It says different shades of meaning, nuances of the word, word. So it doesn't just say word, but sometimes it's talking about the word. Great peace have they that love thy law. So that's the 165th verse. So thy law be his word. So when you read through here, just recognize that as you're reading it. We're not going to read the whole psalm. We don't have time to do that. It'd take 10 minutes just to read it through nonstop. And I can't read through one verse nonstop. You know me. I got something to say. So, but from this standpoint, and there's several angles you can look at it, you could emphasize several different points, but tonight we're emphasizing the importance of God's Word. From that standpoint, we're going to go through several verses where he talks about how important his Word is and what it will do for you. Notice the 11th verse says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. My goodness, what a promise. What an awesome promise. If you really believe that, then when the temptation comes in your life, if you stopped and you got in the word and you got some of that word in you that you put in you, it will keep you from sinning. Amen. Even in Jesus' case, when he was tempted 3 times in Matthew the 4th chapter, and also Luke 4th chapter, where he was tempted 3 times, when the devil came to him, each time he told him, it is written. Each time he fought the devil with the word. It kept him from giving in to the temptation. The word in your heart will keep you from sinning. Amen. The more word you have in your heart, the less likely you are to sin. The less word you have in your heart, the more likely you are to sin or give in when the temptation comes. This is something we need to understand. Our strength is in God's word. Amen. It's not in us, in of ourselves. It's not the human spirit. It's not the force of our will. None of us are that perfect. There are no supermen and superwomen. There is a super God, hallelujah, Amen. That has given us his super word. You remember the old Popeye cartoon? Okay. Here's your can of spinach in your time of trial.
Amen.
If you could just get to the spinach, the muscles pop out. Woo! When you've got all you can stand and you can't stand no more. You get in the spinach, your strength will come. Amen. But your strength's not in and of yourself. You can't just do it on your own. That's why God gave us his word. And so he is praising in this psalm the power of God's word, the strength of God's word, the might of God's word. And, of course, the truthfulness, the integrity of it, how God is faithful to it. Now, we've got to get it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do those people serve God? I'll tell you how they do it. They get in God's word, and they get God's word in them. And they hang around God's people. They're not special. There's no special people here. There's no gifted magic people here that all of a sudden are able to serve God and then some that can't serve God. Listen, any of us, if we will get the Word of God in us, if we'll hang around God's people and change who we hang around with, are you with me? Change what we're reading and what we're looking at and what we're putting inside of us. Any of us can serve God. God's no respecter of persons. I wish I was that strong. Listen, there is nobody that strong without God's Word. This is what the psalmist was praising, the strength of God's word in his life, not his strength. If he was strong, it was the word that made him strong. He would say that. So, you know, people, you know, talk about our life maybe, or maybe talk about your life. If you've had some good in your life, you've been a witness or a light, you ought to be quick to say it's Jesus. It was Jesus that got me where I am today. I made some choices in my life. And since I made the right choices for God, he came through, he stood up for me, and he undergirded me and protected me and got me where I am today, and I give him all the glory. Now, right, I had to make some choices. No question, I had to make some decisions. I had to separate myself from certain people and certain decisions and certain places. You know, you can't just put your... You don't put a whiskey bottle in front of an alcoholic and say, don't take a drink. You got to know your limitations. Are you with me? I just use that example. Goodness gracious, there are certain situations I don't get into. Not just because it's bad, that'd be a good enough reason. But I am human, and if I put myself in those situations, I might possibly give in to it because I'm not Superman. So a lot of serving God is just using wisdom. Hello? I'm very particular about a lot of things. You know, as far as sometimes people say, well, you're just too particular on it. Well, I tell you what, it's kept me clean. It's kept me holy. I'll just be particular. I'll just go ahead and be particular. I know me. I know what I can handle and can't handle. And there's certain situations I won't get into. I won't go there. I don't hang around bars and witness people in the bars. I'll witness to them if they come out of there. Hello? I mean, I just know my limitations. Are you with me? Okay. Don't quit looking at me so funny. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. My goodness. And notice what he says in the 16th verse. He says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will not forget your word. My God, that's what happens to us in the time of trouble. We forget his word. We forget what he said. We forget his promise. It may be a crisis or a tragedy that's happened in our life. We've forgotten God has a way out. God has a promise. He can come through for us in this deal. But yet, the problem overwhelms us. It fills our vision, our line of sight, our horizon, as it were. And we tend to slip away from what God said and forget what he said. And we need to get back in the word. Amen? Because that's where our strength and our deliverance is going to come from. It's going to come from God's word. I love, you know, what Chris said, you know, they worked for 3 hours and I finally said, hey, you know, we better pray about this. It's kind of like, I've told it many times. This friend of mine pastors a church and had a bunch of men together and they were having a men's meeting. Something had come up and the pastor said something like, well, guys, we need to pray. You know, something had happened. And one of the guys says, oh, no, has it come down to that? It's almost like we've tried everything else. That's always the last resort, you know. Oh, my God, are we going to have to pray now? Well, you ought to pray first. Are you with me? Quit waiting so long till you pray. Don't forget his word. Because that's your strength. You ought to put that up front. That ought to be the first thing you do every time. Amen? But how many times you know, and I'm not pointing any fingers or throwing any stones. I got no stones to throw. I got all these fingers pointing back at me if I point at you. How many times you've been in a crisis, in a situation, and you realize, I hadn't even prayed about that. Come on, have you been there? I've been there time and time again. And I believe in prayer. I'm a preacher. Hello. But invariably something will be happening and I just, you know, I'm getting real frustrated, you know, and out of sorts. And I realize, you know, I haven't even prayed about that. You know, it's always something simple, isn't it? And it really is. That's what the psalmist is saying here. I will not forget your word. Because there's where my strength is. There's where my power is, my deliverance is. In fact, he goes on. I'm just going to pick out a few spots here. God, there's so many good ones. In fact, I'm going to go through them and come back. How about that? That makes sense? I'm going to go through it. I'm going to come back. Notice the 49th verse. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. You have caused me to hope. You've caused me to hope. Wow. Feel like you've lost hope? You need to get back in the Word. Because if you remember the Word that God has given you, and he's talking to God, he says, remember the Word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. People are hopeless many times because they don't know what God says. And so the psalmist is saying over and over through here, thank God I know what you say. Thank God I've got your promises. Thank God I've heard what you have to say. Lord, I have heard your word, and it has caused me to hope. Amen. I haven't lost hope here. And you don't have to lose hope either. There is no hopeless situation. I don't care if it's personally in your life, financially, physically, emotionally, maritally, whatever the case may be. There's never a hopeless situation because there's always God. Amen. And with God, there's always hope. But now, with that in mind, you need to get into his word and find out what he says. Amen. Because it is his word that causes you to hope. Amen? Get it? It says, your word has caused me to hope. I can look across the congregation and just knowing different things about different people. And, you know, Donna Gale and Reggie have been through some things here in the last few months, different surgeries. But, you know, God's word has caused them to hope. I remember talking to Robert one night about, you know, he was just a little shaken with the circumstances. And that happens. We get a little shaken. He said, I need some scripture. He was telling me, I need some promises. And so I gave him a whole list of scriptures on healing and told him, read these. And man, it helped, didn't it, Robert? I mean, it gave you hope. Still got them in your lunchbox. Praise God. But see, that's what the Word does. When you don't have hope, the Word causes you to hope. Hallelujah. I remember praying with Reggie and Donna, you know, as they went into surgery on a couple different occasions, well, several occasions, you know, over the years, lots of occasions. But just recently, you know, we would pray the Word, and they were standing on the Word, and they were saying, we're going to be fine. We're going to come through this great. God's a healer. He's a deliverer. Pray for the doctors and the surgery. It's going to be successful. And I mean, it was just smooth, just some unbelievable interventions during those surgeries. It's just, don't have time to even talk about it. It was so good. And the Word gives us hope. It gives us hope. Hallelujah. Keeps us from sinning. Keeps us from worrying. What it say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then here he's saying it's caused me to hope. Hallelujah. Notice this 50th verse, the very next verse. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word has given me life. Woo! Hallelujah. Affliction comes. We live in a broken, fallen world. Crisis comes. We have challenges. We've got an enemy out there. There's battles going on. But in the affliction, God's Word gives us life. In fact, it is our comfort. It is our comfort. How can you be so positive? Because I have God's Word. Don't you see what's going on in your life? It doesn't matter. My comfort and my hope and my strength comes from God's Word. Hallelujah. How can there be one like you? I love that song. Man, he's the author of life. He's the author of love. He's the author of health. He's the author of strength. He's the author of deliverance. He's the author of hope. He's the God of our world. Hallelujah. He's our God. He's not a God. He's our God. He's my God. My God shall supply all your needs. What, you know, Paul said that he was making that personal. He didn't say God. He said my God. My God. David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. See, you've got to make it personal. And when you do that, you've got help, you've got strength, you've got hope, you've got a deliverer. You're not alone. Amen? Well, notice Psalms, look at the 105th verse there. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now see, what he's talking about there is direction. That's what he's saying. He's saying God is giving us, he is the path or the direction that we're going to follow. I don't always know what to do, but if I get in God's Word, I can find out what to do. I don't always know where to go or what to do, but God's Word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. Another way you can look at that, excuse me, I've thought on this before, is that words in general are light. Words in general shine light. You can shine light on a bad situation by talking about a bad situation. You can enlighten the situation and make it so bright that you can't see anything but the situation because you won't shut up about it. Hello. You won't be quiet about it, to use a better word. You just keep talking, and you keep shining light. You know, I think Jesus said in John 6:63, he said it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you think about it, words are living things, they come alive. When you speak them, when you voice them, the words I speak to you. In fact, in this same vein here, notice the 130th verse, the entrance of thy word gives light. The entrance of thy word gives light. See that? Now think about it like this. All words bring light. You shine light on something the more you talk about it. Isn't that right? And we're just like bugs. You shine light, we're going to fly right to it. Isn't that right? Well, you talk the problem, you're going to fly right to the thing. In fact, that's how we catch insects. We put that light up there, and then we just fry them. Sometimes we're frying ourselves with what we're saying. Because we're being directed by words, because words have that quality. They just shine light. They just, whatever words are out there, they give direction, be it good or be it bad. But David is saying, or the psalmist is saying here, he says, your word's going to be a light to my path, and your word's going to be a lamp to my feet. I'm not going to let anybody's words lighten my path. I'm not going to follow the direction or the light of anybody else's word. I'm going to follow the light of your word. Get it? Because words tend to guide us. Words tend to direct us. We hardly ever go anywhere without saying it. Well, I'm going to church, or I'm going to Brookshire's. You get up and you say where you're going. You know, we just do that. Well, God's saying, let my words be your direction. Let my words be your light. Let my words be your lamp. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then the entrance of thy word, Psalm the 130th verse, the entrance of your words gives light. And I love the rest of that verse. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. I get understanding from the word. Now let's qualify that. It gives understanding to who? To the simple. Now if you think you already know everything, it won't help you. Because God's word does not give help or understanding to everybody that knows everything. Or to anybody that already knows everything. But if you know you're simple, God will give you understanding. If you say, I just don't know, God, what do you have to say about this? God will give you understanding. If you'll keep it simple, and you'll keep that straight in your life, that what God says is the final word, and really I don't know anything outside of Him, until I find out what He says, I really don't know what to do. You're on the right track. If you say you see, you're blind, is what Jesus said. If you already know everything, He can't help you. But if you know God's word is the final issue or the final matter, the final word on the matter, then you'll go to it looking for help and for direction, open to receive it, ready, a willing vessel. Amen. And God's word gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. So if I can say it and not be misunderstood, keep it simple and stay simple. You see how not many wise men, according to the flesh. You see not how many, not many mighty, according to the flesh. Not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But he that glories, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, that executes righteousness and judgment in the earth. Think about it. See, we got to keep it simple. We think we're so smart sometimes, but we're not that smart. We hadn't been around that long. God's been around forever. And so His Word, this is the importance of His Word. You got to get it. You got to get it inside of you because it is your wisdom. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding. This is what makes you wise. Hallelujah. Amen? And then He says, 133rd verse, I'm just skipping around here, y'all, just... Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. That's similar to over there, the 11th verse where he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here he's saying, let your word direct my steps. Direct my steps in your word and let not sin have dominion over me. If we follow the direction of God's word and walk in that direction, then sin won't dominate us and it will not have dominion over us. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That means we're taking steps in line with what God says, and in so doing, we're avoiding danger. You know, it's like having a map, and you're in a city, you don't know where you are, and having a map to know where to go and what to do. Well, I want to tell you what, we're in a wild, wild place called planet Earth that's fallen. We are sons of light in a dark world, is what the Bible says. And we need the direction of God's word. You can't run your marriage. You can't run your family. You can't live your life the way it should be lived without the direction of God's word. You are not that smart. It is too dark out here in this world. But with the word, praise God, we can get insight. We can get direction. If we'll work it, amen. If we'll do it, if we'll make it happen, if we'll step out on it, hallelujah, it'll work for us. So it's our direction, it's our strength, it's our deliverance. And notice here in the 147th verse, I rise before the dawning of the morning, and I cry for help, I hope, in your word. Man, isn't that good? What do we hope in? I said that earlier, you know, our hope is where? He's caused me to hope where? In His word. Sometimes everything is falling to pieces in front of us. Sometimes all the facts disagree with the truth of God's word. But the truth of God's word is always greater than the facts. The fact may be the doctor said you had this. The fact may be your wallet is empty. The fact may be that it seems like everybody's forsaken you. But the truth is, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The truth is, by his stripes you were healed. The truth is, God's word. So my hope is in the truth. Not in, facts can change. Facts change every day. Do you know that? They're constantly changing. Well, the fact is, well, tell me the truth. I want to know what the truth is. Facts can change. They change every day. What are you talking about? Well, I'm just telling the facts. Well, I'm just telling the truth. Truth's greater than facts. Truth overcomes facts. Truth is eternal. Truth doesn't change. Facts do change. Truth never changes. Amen? So the truth of God's word overcomes the facts of opposition in our life. Amen? Now, I quoted this 165, verse 165. Excuse me. And I want to encourage you to fill in the gaps. Go back and read the whole thing. Don't have time to do that tonight. Notice what it says here in the 165th verse. Great peace have they which love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. You want peace? Are you in turmoil? A little frustrated, a little rattled in life? Feel like you're spinning your wheels, don't have any purpose? Well, get in the Word of God, fall in love with God's Word, great peace will come to you, and nothing will cause you to stumble. Man, I love that. You won't trip, you won't fall, you won't hit the chuck holes, you know where they all are. You'll get familiar with the territory because God's Word will enlighten you. The map of God's Word will tell you how to walk and where to go. You'll see the obstacles where you couldn't before. They're over in the dark now. Light is shining on the situation. You ever notice the more you run down a road, the more you learn where the bumps are? I know the access road going to my house, there's a couple rough places in it, and when we get to it, we get over to the middle of the road and go back over, you know. Because we've hit those bumps so many times, we know where they are. Hello. I used to be real good at them. I never missed any of them. Just hit them all. But, you know, you get to where you learn where they are and go around. In fact, somebody following you, never been there, they're thinking, man, this guy's driving crazy. He's going there, going over this way. Fred, you know where they are. Yeah, on that bottom going for the concrete bridge. Yeah. And go around that way. And, you know, because of being familiar with the territory, you know where the obstacles are. Well, the problem with life is, it's coming at you 24 hours a day, and you've never been in some of the places or most of the places that you're going to be in tomorrow, because tomorrow's a new day. See, experience may be a teacher, but it's got to be the worst of all teachers because it gives the test first and the answers later. And experience really going to know the truth doesn't teach anything. If you don't evaluate your experiences, you won't learn anything from your experiences. So even after experience, you've got to stop and think about what happened there. Because just going through life is not going to teach you anything if you don't stop and think about what happened in your life. Amen. But there is a better way. You can find out things before they happen. You can find out how to act before something takes place. You can get wisdom from God with a map and find out where the chuck holes are, the bumps, with the Word of God. Ooh, hallelujah. Nothing will cause us to stumble because we foresee the danger and avoid it. A wise man, Proverbs says, foresees the danger and avoids it. Well, the Word will give you insight into, hey, that's not a good deal. Don't go there. The red flag will go up way before the crisis hits in many cases. This is a situation we don't need to get involved with. Stay away from this. Instead of jumping in the middle of it and then crying out for help. You know, I had a pastor tell me one time, it's so good. He said, man, he got so tired of getting in the middle of a mess, you know, even with the church, trying things out, trying this out and this out. Getting in the middle of a mess and then saying, God, you got to help us. This is a mess. And God would get him out of the mess. And one day he's praying and God just spoke to him just real clearly. He heard God say, you know what? If you would pray and ask me what I want you to do first, you wouldn't have to ever ask me to help you get out of the mess because it would be blessed before you started. And most, think about it. And most of the messes we get into that God gets us out of, thank God. The reason that we get in that mess is because we didn't pray to start with. We waited until it happened. Then we said, God, you've got to bless us. You've got to help us, you know. And thank God he does. He's merciful. But he wants us to get to the point to where we're listening to him before we get in that mess and avoid it altogether. Isn't that great? I think a lot of financial messes we get into is our own fault. Now, does God bless us? Sure he does. Will God get us out? Sure he will. If you'll pray and believe him, he'll help you. But he really wants to give you wisdom where you don't keep getting in those messes. I mean, think about it. And you know, the thing about heaven, what's so good about heaven, there's no healing in heaven. Nobody ever gets sick there. You don't need it. You only need healing when you get sick. In one sense, there's no forgiveness in heaven. Now, don't run out of here and twist what I'm saying. Nobody's sinning up there. You're not having to go to God every day and say, God, forgive me my sin today. You won't be sinning when you get to heaven. Are you with me? Now, thank God for forgiveness. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? Just living holy is better than needing forgiveness every day. And so really, a sign of maturity is just getting yourself to the point where you don't sin so much. I'm not saying you get to the point where you'll never sin, but I'm saying you should get better at this thing. Hello. I mean, there are sins that I used to ask God to forgive me for that I don't do anymore. How about you? Amen? I mean, I got over some of those. I've gotten strength in the Word over those areas and from training myself and doing the Word and overcoming it. I don't even come to God about some of those things because that doesn't happen to me anymore. I don't do those things anymore. Now, there's plenty of other things I need to pray about. Don't get me wrong. I need to work on it and so on and so forth. But God says if we sin, this is what's so good. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Isn't that good? But he goes on and says, but I write these things unto you, little children, that you sin not. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. So really, he wants us, if we stumble, he'll pick us up. But see, if we'll get in his word, we won't stumble. And whenever we do stumble, we probably missed it somewhere. We weren't where we should have been. We could be, I mean, it's not always our fault, but a lot of times it is. Are you with me? Don't start pointing the finger every time somebody's in sin or something bad happens. It's not always their fault. It's not always your fault. But a lot of what happens to us is our fault. A lot of repercussion for sin, what I'm talking about. Hello. You get to hollering at people and screaming and shouting and so on and so forth, beating up somebody. You know what? You're probably going to get a black eye. And you know what? That was your fault. Hello. You go rob a bank. They throw you in jail. You know what happened? God didn't put you in that jail. That's the kind of things I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just a crisis that hits or a sickness that hits and so on. You know, stay with me on this. But if you love his law, nothing will cause you to stumble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you'll get better and better at it. I mean, you're not perfect. I understand that. But you get better and better. Don't give up. You hang in here with God's word. Amen? Okay, turn back with me. There's a phrase that jumped at me as I was reading this that I want to go over. I want you to notice this, and we'll close out with this. It may take a few minutes to do it, but we will close out. In Psalms 119, notice the ninth verse. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Everybody say, according to your word.
According to your word.
Okay. This is just the phrase I want to go over, just the verses that say, according to your word. So here he says, according to his word, we can cleanse our ways. Isn't that what he's saying? That's where he jumps down the 11th verse, says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So according to God's word, I can cleanse my ways. Notice the 25th verse. My soul clings to the dust. In other words, he's about to die. Revive me according to your word. So according to God's word, I can be revived in a hopeless situation. I mean a situation where I'm about to die even. The life is just about gone. I can be revived how? According to his word. I can be cleansed from sin. Maybe you sinned. Well, you can be cleansed according to his word. Maybe you're at the point of death. You can be revived according to his word. How can you make that statement? I make it according to his word. What are you basing that on? According to his word. Well, the doctor's report says this, but God's report says this. And I'm going to base my life according to his word. Well, I see this, and but I'm going according to what God says. Yeah, but so-and-so said, it's according to what? And according to what God said, you getting it? Okay. So he says here, revive me according to your word. Look at the 28th verse. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Woo! Hallelujah. So when I'm weak, I can be strong according to his word. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How am I going to do it? I'm just a shell of a man. I can't handle another phone call. I can't handle another crisis. I'm just, my knees are knocking. I'm wobbling. I don't think I can take another hit. Listen, strengthen yourself in God's word. Strengthen yourself in God's word. You know, there was a time in David's life. at Ziklag, the place of Ziklag in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. He'd gone back to Ziklag where his wives and his children were, and all of his men had come. They'd been fighting. They came back, and someone had raided the camp and took all of his wives, took all of his children, took all of his stuff. And the Bible says they wept till they had no power to weep anymore. And the men, his own men, who he had spared and saved and nurtured and protected, took up stones. They talked about stoning him and killing him. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Wow. That's a powerful story. I mean, what in the world do you do? Everybody's turned against you. All you guys, all you men turned against you. Your wives are gone. Your children's gone. Your stuff's gone. And now you've got nobody. In fact, your friends are against you. Well, he encouraged himself in God. I love that. He strengthened himself, really is what that word is, kazak, where God told Joshua, be strong. That's the same Hebrew word. He strengthened himself in God. Well, hey, where do you get your strength from in the time of crisis? What do you do when everybody forsakes you, when everything is against you, when all the facts say you're just not going to make it? This is it. This time it's not going to happen. Well, you get in His Word. Amen? And you strengthen yourself, how? According to His Word.
Amen.
Notice this, 41st verse. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word. That's deliverance, that's healing, that's wholeness, that's salvation, that's protection. How do we get that? According to God's word, that's how we get it. How can you be so strong? According to God. How can you be so positive? How can you be so chipper? Whistling and singing with all this going on, how can you do that? According to His Word. See, he praised His Word. This whole psalm is about the power of God's Word. The strength, the hope, the comfort, the peace, the deliverance, the protection, the direction. Oh, hallelujah. You've got to develop an unshakable confidence in God's Word, because that's what's going to get you out of the mess of the trial that you're in. In fact, if you go on down here in the 58th verse. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. You ever need mercy? You ever just sin? It's your you did it. Thank God He's merciful. Amen? I mean, it's your fault. You messed up. But you know God's still merciful according to His word. But if you don't know His word, you won't be able to cry out for it. That's why you need to develop a knowledge of God's word. Get in the word of God. Get the word of God in you. 65th verse. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Has God dealt well with you? Now think it through. Let's analyze this. How does God deal well with me? He does that according to His word. So wait, that puts the onus on me. That puts the ball in my court. That puts the monkey on my back. You listening now? You want God to deal well with you? You're going to have to get in His Word, because He deals well with us according to His Word. And if we don't know what His Word says, and we're not trusting His Word, and we have no confidence in His Word, we're not aware of what He says, He cannot deal well with us, because He deals well with us according to His Word.
Amen.
Woo! I mean, that'll preach. I feel a preach coming on. Hallelujah. Don't hang up now. Ooh, hallelujah. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. I would love God to do more well with me. I think He's done well with my soul, but I'd love to see what else He has to give. I think He can do more even in Wills Point, Texas, in International Outreach Church, but He's going to do it according to His Word. It's as we stand on His Word, as we preach His Word, as we pray His Word, as we say His Word, He's going to deal well with us. And our hope's going to come from the Word. And our strength and our mercy, and it's going to come from His Word. Direction's going to come from His Word. Because He does everything He does according to His Word.
Amen.
Jeremiah 1:12 says, I watch over my Word to perform it. He's looking for someone standing on His Word so He can perform it. If you stand on it, He'll perform it for you. Woo, hallelujah. Okay. Where was I? Yeah. 65? Is that as far as I got? Oh, goodness. Let's speed it up here. 76th verse. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. God's kindness and his mercy and his comfort comes according to his word. Hallelujah. Notice the 107th verse, 107. I'm afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. You ever been afflicted very much? I've been afflicted and conflicted. You ever had those days? Well, you just had issues, you know. How you doing? Well, I'm slightly conflicted right now, you know. I've been there. I've been afflicted. I've been conflicted. But I know this, hallelujah, that in that time of trouble, he revives me. According to his word. According to his word. I've had Brenda get on my case sometimes. God get to yeah, and get to doubt and unbelief, and you know, and Jesus, and she'll come up and quote a scripture to me, and I want to slap her. You know, I don't do that. Come on. I just told you I want to do that. I didn't do that. Two reasons. I fear God and I fear Brenda. But anyway, you know, she's quoting the word to me. That's the last thing I want to hear. And boy, the real big one, the one that really just gets in my craw. I mean, you want to put a burr in my saddle when I'm mad like that. Is when she says, you ought to listen to some of your sermons. Oh, well, that's the low blow there. That ought to be off limits. I don't think anybody ought to be able to say that to the husband's a preacher. That's just not right. But at any rate, she's right. And as soon as I calm down, I know she's right. I may walk away, but I got to come back and say, yes, I shouldn't have said that. I should be believing God and standing on a word. And amen. Because when you're afflicted, you need to be revived with the word. Okay. 116th verse. Uphold me according to your word. I appreciate y'all, amen, but don't interrupt my sermon, okay, while my thoughts are going here. Got a question, hold on to it. Hold it. He's thinking, that's soaking it in. So, uphold me. You ever needed upholded? Amen. Held up? We don't say uphold anymore. That's kind of like when you get robbed, I guess. But you ever need to be uplifted? Well, how are you going to do that? How's that going to come? How's that going to happen? According to his word. According to his word, it will happen. Amen. Psalms 150, the 154th verse, excuse me. Plead my cause, redeem me, revive me again, he says this, according to thy word. Notice verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Wow. 170th verse. Let my supplication, requests, petitions come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Now see, notice he's not just saying deliver me, period. He's saying deliver me according to your word. In other words, he's got a promise he's standing on. He knows what God says, and because he knows what God says, he has got unshakable confidence in what God says, and he can say, God, you said this, now deliver me according to your word. God, you said, I know this is happening, I know this is going on, I know what everybody else is saying, but Lord, you said this, now revive me according to what you said, according to your word, according to your promise. Lord, this is a hopeless situation in the natural, but my hope is in you. Now, Father, give me hope and give me comfort and give me deliverance according to what you said, according to your word. So if you know what God says, you can claim all those promises. Well, what do you base that on? Are you not listening? According to his word. I know it wasn't fair. I didn't give you a chance to answer. You would have said that too. But we have hope. We have help. We have deliverance. We've got comfort. We've got direction. We've got strength. We've got mercy. Hallelujah. All based on God's word. See, this psalm, really, it's just so rich. And I challenge you to go through it. I don't have time to read the whole thing. We just hit high spots, you know, just gone across and picked out little things that came alive to me as I was reading this. But the theme that you see throughout this is the power of God's Word, the integrity of God's Word, the faithfulness of God to His Word, and the ability and right that you and I have to stand upon it. And if you'll develop that kind of confidence, that unshakable confidence in God's Word, you can claim these promises and these deliverances based solely on what God says. It doesn't matter what's going on this life, next life, the life before, today, or the hereafter. God's Word is forever settled. In fact, that's in here too, incidentally. Notice the 8th and 9th verse. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. It's settled forever. Forever. If He said it, He means it. If it's here, you can still stand on it. Amen?
Yes.
And whatever the psalmist said that he could have or believe or stand on according to God's Word, you can have, you can stand on, and you can believe according to God's Word too, because God's Word is forever settled. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In fact, when I think about it, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.